Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How are you? We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here at 303 Wacker, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. And it's Friday. We're here till 5 a.m. All of the regular Friday features are coming up. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy. All the regular Friday features. We're going to talk about everyday annoyances and great movie cameos and much more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. There you go. I would like to welcome to the show a woman I haven't seen in a long time. I think the last time I saw Amy was at the Christmas party, if I'm not mistaken. But I used to see her every Saturday when I did a show, and she followed my show on Saturday evenings, and you can still hear her on the radio here on WGN on Saturdays, as well as and Saturdays in the afternoon and Saturdays at night, all over the place. She is also the executive director of the Midwest Independent Film Festival, the president of the Association for Women's Journalists in Chicago, and a radio host. So she is quite busy. And I'm glad that she took the time to hang out with us. You can follow her on Twitter at Amy Guth. It's G-U-T-H. And let's welcome the lovely Amy Guth to the show. Amy, how are you?
Hey, Nick. How's it going?
Pretty good. Good, good, good. You've been keeping busy lately, huh?
You know, we only live once. We might as well fill it with really good things,
yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. So you host the Wind Trust Business Lunch on Saturdays at noon here.
Correct.
The Saturday Night Radio Special at 7 o'clock.
When available. It's often preempted by sports.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you and Hupke, it's Guth and Hupke on Politics, and that's a podcast that people can get right here at WGNradio.com.
That's right. That's right. There's never any shortage of things to talk about on that show, sure.
No. At this time, at this day and age, yeah, I would imagine. So, first of all, you know, maybe people don't know, like, your background and all that stuff. Let's just play a little catch-up. People might want to know all that stuff, where you come from and all that.
Where I come from? Well, I started out, no. So I have a background in a lot of things. I mean, to me, it's always about storytelling and where I can go and what format I can work in to tell stories. And so for me, that has manifested in as journalism and reporting, as fiction writing and as filmmaking, because I just think stories are so interesting, and that's what, you know, binds us together and really creates our lives.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, tell me about you've been working on films lately. Tell me a little bit how that started in your how you went down that avenue.
You know, it seemed like a very logical extension of journalism to me, because a lot of times, you know, you'll run audio if you're interviewing somebody, and sometimes there were just interesting details of things that happen in interviews that I thought, you know, we should start putting these things on camera. And I, you know, really saw the writing on the wall several years ago in newsrooms. I was working at the Tribune and really just saw, you know, social media is coming at us. We're going to need to all be able to shoot video, write stories, edit stories, use social media, know a lot about digital products and platforms. And I'm just going to task myself with learning those things. And in particular, you know, I think it's not enough to just shoot video. I think you need to make, you know, a quality video and learn about cinematography and lining up frames and that sort of thing. And that really is what led me to documentary.
And tell me about what you're working on.
So I have been working on a film about online harassment. I was set to be pretty much wrapped up by the time the presidential election happened.
Oh, and no, then... no.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is going to be fine, and then I'll be on the air that night, and everything will be cool. And when the election went the way that it did, I thought, you know, I'm going to give it a minute and see if there's anything I need to add.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are. So it's been interesting and a little frustrating, because it seems like a single presidential tweet can sometimes not change the narrative, but certainly add some interesting layers to it. So so at some point, a logical conclusion is going to present itself. But that one is episodic, so there is room to do that in beats. And I've also been working as a producer on a film about sex trafficking in Ecuador, and how that's really a global problem, kind of told through the vignette of this one small safe house that's in Ecuador.
Mm. So the online harassment thing, you said that one tweet can change the narrative, but there's about 15, 16 tweets a day at this point.
That's right. I know. That's right. It's true. I mean, it's really interesting to see how quickly it changes. And I mean, I think therein lies the rub and why a lot of people that work in the digital space say never write a book about what you do, because by the time it hits the press, it'll be obsolete. Mm. And I think that's sort of the, you know, the challenge that I'm up against. And so I think it's really about carefully documenting things just beat by beat, which I've been doing now since the beginning of that project, and really just looking at it in a bigger context of who is this affecting, what is the larger impact, what is the psychological impact, what's the medical impact, what's the legal, financial, professional, you know, there's a lot of a lot of pieces to it. So that's really what I've been following.
Okay, well, good luck with all of that stuff that you're doing, Amy.
But, you know, I feel like these two documentaries have been so, you know, somber and pieces and so really moving and, you know, just talking to people that have been impacted by these things, the two topics I'm working on. But I've kind of promised myself that, like, my next one will be about cover bands or unicorns or something like really. I'm going to do a documentary about glitter or something.
Right,
you know?
Right. It's like after a day of working on those documentaries, just go home and watch the Powerpuff Girls and everything will be fine.
Pretty much. Yeah, like, you know, I'm just gonna put on some pop music and chill.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, congratulations on working on that stuff. One of the main reasons why I wanted to have you on, just because you're not just because you're interesting and awesome, but executive director of the Midwest Independent Film Festival. That's a new thing, relatively new thing for you, correct?
That's a real new thing. That announcement came out July 1st. And I'm having so much fun. Like, I almost feel guilty that it's my job and not like a hobby, because it's
right.
So fun.
Right.
It's the same with radio, right? It's like, it's such a fun thing to be doing. There was a leadership change and an opportunity to do that. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go for that. And it worked. And I started, and, you know, my first task really was the Female Filmmakers Night, which is an annual event. And, it's so fun. I mean, in fact, that was my first touch point to the festival ever. I was on a panel for Female Filmmakers Night a couple of years ago. I was on a panel with Julia Sweeney, and I really didn't know a lot about the festival before that. And I went to it, and I thought, well, this is really fun. And so many film festivals just happen once a year, and then you lose touch with everybody and kind of have to start over. But this is every month. So it's the first Tuesday of every month. And so it's such a beautiful community of people that really just are committed to the Midwestern filmmaker and kind of the rising tide raises all ships vibe there. And really wonderful people come together every single month. And there's always a panel discussion about any given topic beforehand. And then there's a screening of either one or one feature film, or there are, you know, a lineup of some short films. And then there's a Q&A with the filmmakers, and then there's an after party. And it's such a great night, and it feels so good to be around that energy. So Female Filmmakers Night was a bunch of short films all made by female-identifying filmmakers from the Midwest, or it was set in the Midwest, or both. And for the first time ever attached to that event, we included a grand jury prize, and we asked a lot of women that are in really, you know, doing really important things in the film industry here to be part of that jury. And jury night was a very cool and fun night. I mean, for many reasons. One of them, though, was here's a room full of women who are doing awesome things in Chicago in the film industry. And they knew of each other by name, but a lot of them had never met before. Mm. So it was suddenly like, oh, I know this thing that you did. And you know, I feel like there's all these offline conversations that it sparked, that it was so cool. And then Chaz Ebert agreed to be our honorary jury chair, which was so fun.
Oh,
and she's so delightful.
She's the best.
And
She's the best. Yeah.
She's so fun. I mean, I you know, handed her a piece of paper that had the name of the winner, and they actually presented the jury gave a second prize also for just kind of a distinguished recognition. And I handed her a paper with those names on it, and she kind of gave me a look like, I got this, please hold. You know, gave this wonderful, I mean, I feel like she took us to church. It was so beautiful, right? It's on YouTube, as a matter of fact. It's on the Midwest Independent Film Festival YouTube channel.
Oh, cool.
Because she at one point, like, turns and she's just facing these young women, these filmmakers that are all standing up there. And she's, you know, talking about, we are in an era we're in a moment that is the rise of feminine consciousness, and look at you all communicating that through your art form. And it was such a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's cool.
She also got up and said, Amy, I've been watching you all night, and I feel like someone should make you into a cartoon form. Which I'm like, okay, that's fine. We can do that.
That's cool. Listen, Amy, hang on, okay? We have to take a break.
All right.
All right. Amy Guth is with us, the lovely Amy Guth, and you can hear her here on the radio at Wintrust Business Lunch on Saturdays at noon. When Saturday night radio special is not in, taken over by sports, she's on at that, and you can get the Guth and Hupke on Politics podcast as well. We're going to talk more about the Midwest Independent Film Festival and the next event, which happens every first Tuesday of each month, and I want to talk about the her being the president of the Association for Women Journalists in Chicago. So we're going to talk about that as well. All that and more after we take a break here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, overnight guy here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 a.m. for your morning drive. Friday morning, that means all the regular Friday features will be happening. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. We're going to talk about everyday annoyances and movie cameos and all that regular stuff on Friday mornings. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And we are speaking with Amy Guth right now, who you can hear right here on WGN. She is also the executive director of the Midwest Independent Film Festival and president of the Association for Women Journalists Chicago. She keeps busy, and we wanted to catch up with her and get her back on the show. And welcome back, Amy.
Thanks so much, Nick.
Hey, how long has the Midwest Independent Film Festival been around? By the way, the website is midwestfilm.com if people want to check it out.
That's right. Well, you know, it started in 2005. There was a little bit earlier iteration under a different name before that, but officially it started in 2005. So it's been around, you know, quite a while and really built this cool community. One of my favorite things about it is the panel before the screening is always, you know, it might be about distribution or funding or some aspect of filmmaking or about the film itself. And I love seeing new filmmakers in that space and asking questions and really taking advantage of the fact that there's expertise in front of them and people that have been there and done that. And I really love when I hear a young filmmaker ask a clarifying question without starting it with, hey, this might be a stupid question, or I'm sorry to ask. They just ask.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a testament to what a cool job, you know, everyone involved in the festival has done of making it a community space.
Right.
And I think that's so cool.
That's great. That's great. So, and the events all take place at the Landmark Century Cinema on Clark, correct?
That's right. 2828 North Clark. We're on the very top floor, that top cinema. There's usually a little reception that starts at 6. That's on the very tip top floor. And then we all go in the theater at 6:30 for the panel discussion. And then the screening starts at 7:30. So we get a little break there in between the panel and the screening. And then immediately afterwards, we have a Q&A with the filmmakers. And then we all head about a block away to the Avenue Tavern for the after party.
There you go. All right. That sounds great. So tell me about what's happening on September 4th. Tuesday, September 4th, it's the next Midwest Independent Film Festival event.
That's right. So we are going to be playing a feature-length documentary. It is called Hesburgh. It is about Father Theodore Hesburgh, who was the longtime president of Notre Dame University, and a really righteous dude. He was a civil rights activist. He was a leader, and he was instrumental he was like Forrest Gump, right? He was in the room for so many really important moments in American history, and it was such a fascinating character. I think the other layer to this is that here's someone who had a lot of power and a very big role, and yet he was really committed to leading with kindness and compassion and really, really, really keeping those values on display his whole life.
Wow. So, and that's, people can get tickets at the website or?
Yeah, you know what? Tickets are very popular to this film. I mean, it is, it's made by, director is Patrick Creedon, produced by Christine O'Malley. It's a husband and wife team. Their work has been at the festival before for IOUSA and Wordplay. And so audiences are familiar with their work. So tickets are moving. But yeah, you can go to MidwestFilm.com and you can find tickets.
Okay.
And I hope to see you there because it's, you know what? When I saw this, you know, I'm screening these films as they're coming in, and I thought, you know, this thing about a priest, what is this going to be? Oh, my God. And right away, I thought, okay, this is really cool. And I just sat there just so moved and excited the whole film. So
yeah.
I'm really excited to show this to audience.
I've seen their previous movies, and they're both really good.
Yeah, they're really talented.
Yeah, very cool stuff. So congratulations on that screening. That's great. And
thanks.
It is every month. It's the first Tuesday of each month when you guys have this. Is there a full schedule on the website?
Yes. As soon as we know it, we put it up there.
Oh, okay.
What we're coming up to is we are always dark in January. We take January off.
Okay.
But the last event of the year for every season in December is the Best of the Midwest Awards, which is very cool. And so that's when we look back at all the things that we did over the past year, and we really pick out who is best actor, best actress, best film, best short, best music video, all those things. And we give out awards, and everybody dresses up, and it's a really fun night. So we've got a couple more months in the theater there at the Landmark, and then we'll move into the Best of the Midwest Awards. And then it'll be time to announce the 2019 season already.
Wow, that's great. Well, that's the Midwest Independent Film Festival. You can check out all the information and tickets and schedules and all that great stuff at MidwestFilm.com. That's MidwestFilm.com. We'll have a link out up on our Facebook page as well at Facebook.com/NickDShow. So tell me about the Association for Women Journalists Chicago as president, Amy.
Yeah, so I've been president for quite a few years at this point. I keep getting reelected, which I guess is a compliment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's so fun, and it's such a lovely organization. And it is we have male members, we have female members, we have all members, and it's really all about a commitment to the work that women do in journalism, but also fair coverage of women when women appear in the news. And so it is nonpartisan. Everybody's, you know, there at the table. Everybody's, you know, there to participate and just do good work together. And so we've been around for 19. Well, it first started in Dallas-Fort Worth in 1988, and then it started in Chicago in 1993. And I've been involved with the organization for about a decade. Not all of those years as president, though. I was working as the digital chair for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it's such a great organization, and I love the board. I feel like everybody on the board is a good friend also, and we've just grown, you know, to just work well together and that sort of thing. And so one of our big projects that we've had in the works for a couple of years, and it was a matter of getting funding and organizing it all and lots of paperwork involved with it, but we've launched the Chicago Women's Journalism Hall of Fame because we really felt like there's women doing amazing work in and around, you know, the Chicago area and have been for years, and we really wanted to acknowledge that and honor that and put that on the record. And so we just inducted the first class of honorees at the annual summer event. We call it the picnic, even though it's really more of a cocktail party than picnic.
Yeah.
And we inducted the first group, and that was Tracy Baim from Windy City Times.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother, Joy Darrow, who was with the Chicago Defender and an activist and just did so many things in her life. Ellen Warren, Laura Washington, and Ida B. Wells. And it was such a lovely night. We had awards for everybody, and I presented them one by one. And, you know, Tracy Baim couldn't be there, but Ellen Warren and Laura Washington were there, and Tracy Baim's father and sister were there to accept the award on her behalf, as well as her mother. And, you know, and I was in touch with the great-granddaughter of Ida B. Wells, Michelle Duster.
Wow.
I was in touch with her. And so it was just really a special night. And I'm really excited for, you know, all that we're going to be doing with that. And people can find out more about that at chwjhof.org. It's Chicago Women's Journalism Hall of Fame.org. You can also link to it from the AWJ Chicago website. And so nominations are back open. So we're looking for people to nominate two things, women or could be men who have done something to be helpful or supportive of women in the journalism space for the next class of Hall of Fame inductees. But also there's a second award attached to that, and that is kind of a spot award, like a one-off distinguished achievement award for a woman who's maybe earlier career, mid-career, who does a really cool project or really goes above and beyond, something like that. We want to honor that too, not just people with a full career worth of work, but also one-off things too. So we're looking to honor people doing awesome work right here in our fine city.
That's great. That's great. And you've been in the journalism world for a long time, Amy. Have you noticed over the years, has the treatment of women changed? Has it become different?
Yeah, I mean, it's ebbed and flowed. You know, there was a time when things were the way they were, and you couldn't do much about it. And if you were the whistleblower, it was going to backfire on you.
Yeah.
And then there was a time in which it wasn't the case. And I think it's been really interesting in the last couple of years. There's been a lot more newsroom solidarity with, you know, colleague to colleague, but in a time when, you know, even our leaders are saying things like fake news,
yeah,
and people are going to the polls in shirts that say, you know, things about hanging journalists, it's a different time. And it's interesting that, to some of the things that have just happened to in the last couple of years, both with the online treatment piece and the backlash that sometimes journalists get, but then just sometimes in person reporting stories and how that goes down. So I think we, you know, more than ever have to keep doing the work that we do and stick to the facts and let the people know the facts and let the facts speak for themselves.
Well, I mean, it's a very interesting time to be a journalist. I know that much.
For sure.
Oh my God! And just everything that's happening right now and the way that the media has been treated, it's really important now more than ever that people who are in the world of journalism stick together and fight.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think now it's so important to defend your colleagues and I think specificity is more important than ever. A lot of times I hear, I feel like every day someone says something, the media said X or the media is getting this wrong. And anytime I hear that, I really try to say, hey, I know what you're getting at, but it's really a lot more useful to say, I heard this one anchor at this one station say the following.
Right.
Because by saying, there's no one media. We don't get a memo and right.
To make a blanket statement like that is not good.
And I think I'm sure you see this all the time too on the text line and with callers that sometimes we can be saying the very opposite of a popular narrative,
right?
And still, someone listening will it's confirmation bias at some point. They're saying, "I'm sure you're saying this. I know you're furthering this agenda," and it's really frustrating. When there's a lot of different journalists doing a lot of different things and making a lot of different points.
Right.
But I think, too, we have a responsibility in our industry of helping people kind of understand more about how it works. I don't know that we've historically done a great job of explaining the difference between a reporter and a host or, a reporter and a columnist.
I
think we need to make that clearer because sometimes people will go, look at a Tribune columnist and say, look at that bias. It's like, well, that person has to have bias. They are supposed to have an opinion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's tricky.
It is. Well, listen, you do a great job, Amy, and congratulations on all the great stuff that you're doing. The Midwest Independent Film Festival's next event is Tuesday, September 4th at the Landmark Century Cinema, 2828 North Clark. The film is Hesburgh. And you can check out MidwestFilm.com for more information. Follow Amy on Twitter, at Amy Guth, and you can listen to her right here on WGN. Amy, always a pleasure to see you, or to talk to you at least. And
thanks so much, Nick.
Absolutely. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Okay.
All right, there you go. There's Amy Guth, everybody. The lovely Amy Guth, as I like to refer to her. Okay, we're going to take a quick break for the news, and we'll be back after this on 720 WGN.